2007. Welcome, members. For your information, for anyone here who's to come to testify on Senate Bill 318A or Senate Joint Memorial 12, those will be held over until Wednesday's agenda. And we are going to start in with Senate Concurrent Resolution 14, open up a public hearing and work session on SCR 14. Mr. Olson will explain it, and Mr. Brzezinski, if you'll join us, that would be fantastic.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Concurrent Resolution 14 commends the South Lane School District Superintendent, Krista Parent, for being named the National Superintendent of the Year.
Thank you, Mr. Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I asked Mr. Hunsaker to come on up with me. I know that he also wants to give testimony on this bill. SCR 14 is an opportunity for us as a legislature to actually give kudos to one of our superintendents from the South Lane School District. Krista Parent won the National Superintendent Award this year. She is the first Oregonian superintendent to accomplish that feat. And she's a wonderful individual, and we felt that it was something that would be worth bringing forward. A little bit of history. You've probably had a chance to look at the staff's measured summary, but she's been involved in education for over 22 years. She did her her internship at Thurston High School in Springfield, but since then she's been involved at or within the South Lane School District as either a teacher, coach, athletic director, high school administrator, Director of Curriculum and Instructions, Assistant Superintendent, and now she is the Superintendent. The type of agenda or criteria that she was judged on, according to the individuals that put this on, they look at leadership and learning, communication, professionalism, and community involvement. And this is, I guess, the one thing that's really is unique is the community involvement that I have seen within the South Lane School District, specifically, and how the community of Cottage Grove has really worked for not only the high school but for all of the different levels of school. But when you look at the high school, you can see how much commitment and the community has. Ms. Parent, in getting this award, she is able to designate a scholarship fund of $10,000, and she chose to do it to her alma mater, which is allowed under the rules. But the Cottage Grove individuals, the citizens, wanted to show that they still supported that decision, even though that was going to be going to Central Point, where she was raised, and they have come up with a scholarship fund of $25,000 that will be used there at the high school. And so it's really been a win-win and a love for the community. And so with that, we're asking that you would be willing to go forward and give a yes vote for SCR 14. And Mr. Hunsaker.
Thank you, Senator. Welcome, Mr. Hunsaker.
Yes, I'm Kent Hunsaker. I'm the Executive Director for the Confederation of Oregon School Administrators. And before that, a long-term superintendent in Lane County, so I was able to work with Krista Parent for some number of years. This award, like Senator Brzezinski indicated, is a national award. 49 states. Hawaii doesn't compete because they only have one school district in Hawaii. So same person would get it every year, I guess. But 49 states, they select four finalists each year. They bring those finalists back to Washington, D.C., do a set of interviews with them. I had the opportunity to witness Krista's interviews with the various committees that she went through. And she was obviously outstanding. That's how she sold herself. I just wanted to point out a couple of things. Number one, when we decided, a group of folks decided to nominate Krista because we happened to visit her district, and with me on that visit was Shannon Preem from the Oregon School Boards Association and several members of the COSA staff. And we were in Cottage Grove working with the district on a communications plan for their district. And maybe this is an example of an outstanding administrator. When we left there, we said, oh, my gosh, this district is so good in this area. Why are they contracting us to do this job? And I think it's a really good example of somebody that's not willing to settle for just really good. They want to be excellent in everything. And that's the way we left that. their communications plan that they developed will improve on the great stuff that they already have going, but it's a really good example of the district and what they have going, and it's a pleasure to be here and speak on Krista's behalf.
Thank you so much. Any questions, members? Mr. Roblin.
I'll just make a comment. Having worked with Krista all of the time she was in Cottage Grove, Cottage Grove used to be a part of the league that we were in, and then it went to the a smaller league. But Krista is like the Energizer Bunny. If you knew her as a teacher, if you knew her as a vice principal at the high school or as a superintendent, she just is abundantly there at everything she's at. She's just always there. And, you know, whether it was the SIM development that we worked on and her passion about that to the communication plans that they've done, getting the new bond for the buildings that they have in that building, which no one thought were going to happen. If you look at what's happened in that district in the last 20 years, almost everything has her fingerprint on it. And she is an awesome person. So it's really exciting for me both to be able to sign on to this bill, but also just to be able to say a few words. She's been fun to watch in her commitment and staying in a place over time. I mean, that's the other thing. It was a part of my career. It's been fun to watch her in that way, in that she has made a commitment to this place and Cottage Grove, and it shows in all the things, how proud they are of their school, the things that they've done, I think, is a real reflection on her. So this is pretty exciting.
Thank you, Representative. Questions, comments? Seeing none, gentlemen. Thank you, so, Representative Dahl.
Just one. Good bill should pass.
Thank you, Representative. Well, we are in a public hearing and work session, so I would entertain a motion on this.
I move SCR 14 to the House floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Representative Dahlem has moved SCR 14 to the floor with a do adopt recommendation. Further discussion? Seeing none, would you please call the roll?
Representative
Dahlem?
Yes.
Representative
Dahlem?
Yes.
Aye.
Representative Crum?
Aye.
Excused.
Representative Lynn?
Aye.
Representative
Rubin?
Aye.
Representative
Rubin?
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries. Representative Dahlem, would you be kind enough to carry this on the floor for us?
I would be very proud to carry this on the floor. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing work session on Senate Commitment Resolution 14. And are we ready for SCR 8, Mr. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll open up the public hearing and work session on Senate Current Resolution 8. Mr. Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Concurrent Resolution 8 honors Confederated Tribes of the Warm Springs Elder Gladys Miller Thompson for a contribution to preserving native languages in Oregon. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Do we have a panel, or do we have someone who wants to start us off?
Yes, we do have a panel. We have Lewis Pitt Jr., Dennis Johnson, I believe. First, though, Sean Cruz from Senator Gordley's office will start us off. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Welcome, Mr. Cruz.
Thank you. Chair Buckley, members of the committee, my name is Sean Cruz. I am Senator Avell Gordon's Chief of Staff, and I'm appearing before you today to introduce the bill on her behalf. And I'm just going to make the comments short and allow the tribe members to speak to the bill. We just want to note that Gladys Miller Thompson's accomplishments are not only remarkable in their own right, but they speak to the importance of language and culture, and this valuable language and valuable culture should not be lost to future generations of Oregonians and to the nation. And with that, I'll conclude my remarks.
Thank you for that brief introduction, Mr. Cruz. Any questions, Mr. Cruz? Seeing them, should we call forward our other panelists?
Peter.
Mr. Lewis Pitt Jr. and Deanie Johnson, please. And anyone else who is speaking on SCR 8, feel free to come forward. Thank you.
Would you, President Nunn, did you want to testify as well?
Nope.
All
right. Well, I make it, yeah.
You might. Yeah. You're welcome to do so.
For the record, I'm Louis Pitt Jr., Yowen Schwick, the tribal person from Warm Springs, enrolled at Warm Springs. I'm Director of Government Affairs and Planning, and we have if you want to get a shotgun course on what we're talking about, there's an article in here in the Portland Monthly on Kim Dawasco, Tribe Save Its Language Tongue. And that's pretty much what we're here for, is to recognize one of our cornerstones of just the last few speakers that we have in one of the three languages at Warm Springs Confederated Tribes. There's three tribes, the Wascos, which is the Kix language, the Warm Springs, which is the Ishiskin language, and the Paiute, which is the Numu language, and three distinctly different languages. The big difference is that the Kix language is down to just a few. If three is a few, we're down to a few. So it's real worrisome. Deanie Johnson here is, in an immersion program, works with her grandmother, Gladys Miller Thompson, and who's a mentor of mine, which don't judge her on the work she's done with me, please, is that she's been, I think, an ever-present mentor and elder in our community to help, I think, us understand the breadth and depth of who we are and how important language is to us as a people. And so Senate Concurrent Resolution is... 8 is, I think, just a recognition of just a lifelong work of, I think, Mrs. Thompson, and I think Deanie can tell you where she is today, and she's doing tribal elder business. So I think that's all I have to say, is that Senate Concurrent Resolution 8 is, I think, something that I'm glad to, I'm always glad when we honor and say good things to people while they're still here. And again, Mrs. Thompson has very much earned, I think, any good words we have to say about her. And she's, again, just one of our very, very important treasures of our tribe. So I'll turn it over to Deanie. Can you introduce her?
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Naika Ichkliu, Deanie Johnson. Naika Ichshawash Kliu, Tassana. Kwan kwan indimum daya wigwa. Kaya achka akshkich igadimum daya wigwa. Aga aluya funeral shidaiktba today. I said good morning. My name is Deanie Johnson. My Indian name is Tassana. And I'm very happy to be here today. And my grandmother could not come because she's attending a funeral today. So I'm here to represent for my grandmother, my mom's mom, my shkich. And this is her chumach, what we call great-granddaughter. So on my side, the mom's side of the family. And we are happy to be here today. I'm currently learning this Kix language of the Wasco people that comes from, you know, thousands and thousands of years of living on the Columbia River until we were moved to the place we're at now in Warm Springs. But this language, like Louis said, we're in a very bad situation where only my grandmother is the most fluent speaker of this language. We have a speaker in Yakima. He's a male elder, and he's almost 80, I think. And we can't get over to work with him too much. But, you know, we've lost a couple speakers that have worked with our program, very supportive of us learning this language. And myself and another teacher are currently working under my grandmother to try to document, record, video, do everything we can to document this language. And so in while Grandma Gladys is here, and she's 92 years old, and she teaches me, and I go in and teach into the early childhood education to 3 and 4 year olds, where she has a fifth generation grandson that is learning. So she's a very, very busy lady. On top of teaching the language, she also teaches her culture and tradition, the gathering of the foods and the ways of the Wasco people. So I'm glad that this resolution is going through to honor her, like Louis said, while she is here, because we do it too late when some of the people are gone, and that's too late. So, and also on the Kiksh language, I'd like to remind you of the Resolution 6 coming up regarding the Kiksh language also.
Thank you very Thank much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Did you have anything you wanted to add? Any questions, members? Representative Roblin.
Yeah, just kind of a statement, because I am really excited this is happening. You know, so many of the Native American languages of Oregon, the last speaker passed away a number of years ago, and it is only because there are some recordings and stuff that we're trying to get those back. And I know that the Confederated Tribes in Coos, Loramqua, have been working on that for a long time. We've been working at the schools, and there was a repository up in University of Washington where they have some old recordings, so they're trying to get there. Have you made an alphabet so you can kind of pass it on that way? Because that's such a hard thing to do so often.
Oh, yeah, we have an alphabet. We have we're able to write down the language.
Okay.
We have actually an alphabet book that goes along with a CD recording. You know, like if any of you wanted to learn,
follow.
There's no,
and that's really your invention, because it didn't mm-hmm. exist before.
No.
I would expect, and I guess the other thing that is so tragic, and you at least have a couple elders, is that so much of the language is taught to people through the stories, as opposed to the way we teach language. And have they captured most of those stories?
There is a book out by Edward Sapir
mm-hmm.
called Wishram Texts, and it's out to buy. It's been out for since 1909. But it's a real old book, and it has the language on one half of the book, and then the English translation on the other. But it's of all the legends
that
were told.
So I think some of those have been lost in other tribes, which is really a sad thing.
Could you restate the name of the book one more time, please?
Wishram Texts.
How do you spell that?
Wishram.
Thank you. And text, T-E-X-T?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative Dahlem.
I see Louis. Like a letter from home. I'd like to carry the bill. I'm speechless. I'm very glad
you must
here.
Come more often. Representative Lim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this might be a little, I'm sidetracking, but do you know the lady by the name of Mary at the Warm Spring where the swimming pools is? And she used to cook the salmons and for the visitors many times. Do you know the name by the Mary?
Mary Danzuka?
I think so.
A little short elderly?
Yes. Is she still there?
Nancy's still in the past.
Yeah, I believe she's still with us.
She should be more than 90 years old by now then.
She's about 80.
80?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, and the one comment I want to make, that the American Indians, they have the Mongolian mark in the back there like I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so apparently, I just want to say we have the same ancestry, because mm-hmm. all Asians have a Mongolian mark in the back there. When they born, they have a blue mark there.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the American Indians have that, and also the Jewish people has that. So, just for your information.
Thank you, Representative. Appreciate it. Further comments or questions?
A little bit of
history. Sinan, thank you so much for being here today and bringing this bill forward.
Thank you, Committee.
Thank you.
Members, is there anyone else who want to testify on House or Senate Resolution 8?
Mr. Chair, I move SCR 8 to the House floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Senator Dalla moves Senate concurrent resolution 8 to the House floor with a be adopted recommendation. Any further discussion? Seeing none, would you please call the roll?
Aye.
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 I excused you.
Aye.
Aye.
Here. Aye.
Aye. The motion carries, and Representative Dahlem will carry this bill for us to the floor. I'm going to close the work session on Senate Concurrent Resolution 8. I'm going to open a work session, members, on Senate Bill 479A, at the bottom of the agenda today, 479A. And Mr. Olson, can you remind us of 479A, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate 479A requires the use of self-extinguishing light bulbs in schools as of July 1st, 2008, requires schools to replace non-self-extinguishing metal halide or mercury vapor light bulbs with TEATS-type light bulbs or alternative lighting on or before July 1st, 2008, exempts stadiums and outdoor athletic fields, declares an emergency and is effective July 1st, 2007. As you recall, committee members, we discussed this bill on May 2nd in response to the consensus of the committee. Legislative Council has drafted an amendment, which you have before you, the A6 amendment, which changes the deadline for implementation to December 31st, 2007. And so the sponsors of the bill are aware of this. They're able to come down if there's any questions, but since it was responding to the needs of the committee, I told them that probably that wouldn't be necessary. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Members, we did discuss this, too, with our Senate colleagues, and they are fine with the amendment, and they appreciate the committee's sense of urgency on this matter. We are in a work session. I'd entertain the motion.
Mr. Chair, I move SB 479. Pardon me, I move the A6 amendments to SB 479A.
Representative Dolan has moved the A6 amendments to Senate Bill 479, dated 5407. Any discussion on the amendment? Any objection? So amended. Representative Dolan?
Mr. Chair, I move SB 479A to the House floor for the due path as amended recommendation.
Representative Dahlem moves Senate Bill 479A to the House floor with a due path as amended recommendation. Discussion? Seeing none, I will just thank Representative Wisnett, Representative Dahlem for pushing forward on this and getting that sense of urgency behind the bill. And with that, I will ask for a call to roll.
Aye.
Is this on the amendment as well?
It is on the bill.
Aye.
Aye.
Excused.
Aye.
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 Aye. The motion carries, and we'll ask Representative McPherson if he would like to carry this bill on the floor. Thank you, members. And I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 479A. And where do we go next here? On the Senate Bill. Okay, I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 384A. Mr. Olson?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 384A prohibits school districts, education service districts, and public charter schools from entering into contracts and with administrators providing compensation for work not performed, prohibits administrator after the contract termination from purchasing district property or using district property differently than a member of the public, allows school districts, education service districts, and public charter schools to enter into contracts with administrators for health benefits beyond the employment period under certain circumstances, defines an administrator, applies the contracts on or after the effective date of the measure, declares emergency, and takes effects on passage. Mr. Chair, this came out of the Senate with 27-0 with 3 absent, and was sent to from the subcommittee to the full committee with a 6-0 vote with a 1 member absent. We have a couple advocates in the audience who probably could answer any questions that committee members might have.
Thank you very much. Any members of the subcommittee care to share thoughts with the full committee on this bill?
Mr. Chair.
I think we had good testimony, and this was the bill that Senator Walker brought last session, and she, in our conversation, said it had been worked hard between the interested parties, and I had a concern because my district has a standard contract, and I was assured that my superintendent employment contract would not be affected by Senate Bill 384A, and I think that was the main thing for the people that were not on the subcommittee that last year that, like I said, it was Senator Walker's bill did not get voted out of the building. She worked hard with a group, and this was a consensus compromise.
Thank you, Representative Wisner. Representative Kopp.
The only comment I would relate to the full committee, this is about superintendents and people that work at the district office level. It is not about individual school principals or vice principals. It could be the district maintenance director. It could be the curriculum director. But it does not pertain to the administration in an individual school as they have their own contracts.
Thank you, Vice Chair Tom. Representative Dahl.
That's one of the things for those that were not on the subcommittee that I was concerned with is that this may hamper Oregon's attempt to attract outside superintendents by delimiting the scope of the contract. I was assured that we will still be able to attract and hold fine people to the office. So the concerns that I had were put to rest, and I'm going to be supporting this bill.
Thank you, Vice Chair Dahl. Vice Chair Kopp.
The only thing that I'd say is we recruited Vice Chair Dahlem out of state, and he's still here, and so his presence is testimony that we do well.
I'll see
him. Representative Roland wants to comment on that, I think.
He's still here. Oh. I just want to say, from our committee discussion, you know, one of the poster people for this one was a contract that just happened in our district where a superintendent left and was given $125,000, and it's difficult in communities and others to really have a discussion about how hard hit schools are when they see people leaving who are not going to be adding anything to it, receiving these monies that could have hired one or two teachers. And so it's a difficult thing. Recruiting requires people to give them a contract that they want to have when they come, and that includes paying them for what they're going to deliver at the time they're there. That's an appropriate thing, and they can do lots of different things to help that happen. It's not adding stuff to somebody as they leave that gets them to come. So I don't think it'll have any effect on that. I think it's an appropriate statement. It does not affect contractual arrangements. And I think that with respect to other administrators, like Representative Compton saying, and teachers who develop and work on different kinds of things, but it does say to superintendents and others that when you come, get your value at the time when you come and put that value into the kids in the school when you're there. So I think it's a good thing.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Greenlick.
You know, I mean, you say it doesn't affect contracts. I mean, if I hire somebody and I give them a four-year contract, at the end of 2 years I want to get rid of them.
You're going to have to pay the rest of that contract.
That's not outlawed under this?
Correct. It is not outlawed under this.
What is outlawed under this?
Well,
at the end of
your... Without cause.
If you terminate without cause, then you have to pay the balance of the contract. If you have cause, this is a good clause. People ought not...
I
had that same concern, Representative Greenlick,
Representative Roland, you want to...
What it outlaws is that you're in the middle of a contract negotiation, or you decide at the end that the board has decided they don't like that superintendent, and so they're going to offer them an extra $150,000 if you leave this year. That wasn't part of the original contract. It isn't part of the others. We're just telling you right now, we'd like you to leave. We don't want to have a big fuss about it. We're going to give you an extra $150,000. There are situations like...
Contract is over at that point?
What may have already been over. It was at the end of the contract. Yes. The contract is over. They didn't owe him anything
contract,
else.
Why did they have to offer him anything?
They didn't. They shouldn't have.
Mr. Olson?
Just also one clarifying. It will prohibit, once this takes effect, for new contracts, for there being a so-called golden parachute clause in there, which currently is not prohibited. So new contracts that are signed after this comes into effect will be restrict what a school district is able to do.
Well, under the new contract, can I sign a four-year contract?
Yes.
and then fire somebody, not for cause, just because I don't like them, at the end of 2 years, and pay them for the last 2 years of my contract.
Yes, you may. Yes. You may do that. This
does
not change that.
You probably will have to do that.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. You would probably have to do that. This does not affect that.
The golden parachute is, I sign a 4-year contract and I say, whenever I fire you, you'll get $150,000 for the next year.
Right.
Whenever that is, even after your contract runs out. That's what's prohibited under this.
Correct.
Yeah. I might say there are a host of provisions.
I wish I had read it.
Oh, I wanted to let a line go there. Hold on. I think Representative Greenlee, what we're attempting to do here, and what I think the bill does, in fact, I'm sure the bill does, is it eliminates those circumstances under which a superintendent has created a provision that will allow him to be paid above and beyond the normal contract provisions. And that happens in a whole host of ways. If you want to get rid of the superintendent because he has a funny-looking haircut, you can do that, but you will pay the contract. If you want to get rid of the superintendent because test scores have not improved or the reading curriculum has not been adopted or whatever other provision you had in the contract or whatever superintendent jobs are not completed, that's cause and good enough to get rid of them.
Representative Lim and then Representative Clem.
Okay. Maybe partially my question might be answered. The reason why do they want to pay that much money, health insurance, hundreds and thousands of dollars, after contract expired? What's the reason for doing that? There must be some reason they are paying that much money. What's the reason for that?
Representative, as far as I would understand it, it's almost a gift to go away, an incentive to not contest the end of the contract or the non-reissuing of the contract.
Then follow-up question, if it's contested, then it might go to court and plus many other publicity. Right. Sometimes it might be easier just give some money and go away quietly.
Right.
Then are we limiting that negotiations? I was the member of George Fox University as a board member. There has been some incident. Mm-hmm. I know it's not right to give the money, but we have to give money to get him off.
Representative, I do believe you hit a crucial point here, and yes, it does change that ability for a board to make such an offer. And I think the counter argument to it is that in the public's view, the expenditure of taxpayer money for those purposes rubs people severely the wrong way.
Actually, I don't think it does do that. I mean, it's Section 3. It simply relates to the contract they signed, not the settlement that they get into.
Mr. Chair, when we are talking about taxpayers' money, if it goes to the court, it could cost a lot more, same taxpayers' money. So what is the actual reality we are gaining?
But if I may clarify,
Mr. Wilson,
the basic premise of it and the way it's limited, and again, we do have some folks in the audience who might be able to answer some of the questions if we delve into it more, is that it prohibits compensation for work not performed.
No, it doesn't.
Yes.
It prohibits signing a contract for
yeah, I agree.
All it prohibits is in subsection 3, which has to do with signing an employment contract that has those provisions in it. Doesn't actually.
Section 1, sub 2A does have a parameter on.
1, 2A.
They may not enter into a contract with the minister that grants the administrator.
It all talks about the contract you sign.
Correct.
It doesn't talk about what settlements you make.
Except it's got conditions for contract termination are built into the shall line of 2A.
Right. It doesn't allow you to put in a golden parachute provision. Mm-hmm. It doesn't stop you from creating a settlement. It doesn't say anything about it. Yeah. It's only about the contract.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Very good. What is it, Clem?
No, no, no.
Most of what I want to talk about got focused in on, which is that this was about, you know, the contract and the basic principle that you do not add into your contract work that's not performed. You know, pretty basic. I know it's not always happened, but pretty logical. And then on the second part, talks about you also, for a year after the termination, they may not allow purchasing of property or surplus property owned by the school district or use of the property owned by the district other than the manner permitted for the general public. So, again, very good provisions. You know, you're gone, you're gone.
It's about the automobile.
Yeah.
It's about the automobile.
Yeah. Good bill. Should pass.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 384A to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Dahlman has moved Senate Bill 384A to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Hearing none, will you please call the roll?
Representative
Yes.
Representative Dahlman?
Aye.
Representative Freeman?
Aye.
Representative
Call? Aye.
Excused.
Aye.
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 Aye. The motion carries. Members, I'm going to ask Vice Chair Comp to carry this for us on the floor.
Thank you.
I will support her.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's close the work session on Senate Bill 384A. And unless I'm mistaken, we have completed our agenda for today in record time. This is a good sign, members. Maybe we can get through May in a healthy fashion. We have a healthy agenda though for Wednesday and for Friday.
Should we remonstrate for about an hour?
We do have to carry over the two bills from today's agenda to Wednesday, so we'll have our work cut out for us. Mr. Rolson, do you have anything else to add?
Just want to review for what we have up for Wednesday, members. We have on the original Wednesday agenda Senate Bill 517A, which is on prohibiting school district employees from selling steroids. Senate Bill 214A, which is some technical changes on charter schools. We now have for public hearing Senate Bill 318A, public hearing work session on the school improvement fund. Also, we have for work sessions 23A on the expanded options program, 392A on the minimum age. If the subcommittee takes action on it on Tuesday, the subcommittee is holding a hearing tomorrow on that. I'm sorry, a work session. And then we have Senate Joint Memorial 12, which is on the No Child Left Behind, some amendments being worked on. And then on Friday, we have four bills having to do with higher education, and a note that will start at 1:30, not at 1 o'clock on Friday.
And we'll end when?
We'll do our best to get out by 3, but we have until 3:30 unless your committee is meeting at 3.
They didn't take your own.
It is. We'll try to get them by 3, though. We'll throw you out. Representative Clem, do you have a question?
I think I can wait until Wednesday to find out why it's not already illegal for people to be selling steroids in the school.
You can look forward to it, Representative. With that, I'm going to close the hearing in the House Committee on Education. Thank you, members.
He said Walker wouldn't do it.